Hallelujah. This song says, I won't go back. I
to be in the house of the Lord tonight.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I heard somebody said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. We just thank the Lord tonight for those that had a mind to press their way. Amen. Those that had a mind to want to be in the service of the Lord. We're going to ask you to turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Amen. We're going to ask you to stand for the scripture reading, which will be verses 10 through 18 of Ephesians chapter 6. We sort of touched on this a little bit on Sunday. Amen. Mm-hmm. Our message Sunday was what? Who remembers? No sitting up. Putting on the whole armor, but you don't want to be a what? Sitting up.
That's right.
Amen. So I think some of you ducks need to stand there. Amen. Amen. No sitting ducks. Amen. But it's centered around putting on the whole armor of God. And tonight, that's what we're going to touch on as well. Amen. The armor of God. But we're not going to focus on the whole armor. Amen. We're going to focus on just one portion of the armor. Amen. How many know that God is perfect?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. Number 7 is God's completion. How many parts are there to the armor?
7.
I just gave it away. Amen. How many parts?
7
parts. Amen. To the armor. But tonight we're just going to focus on the one part. Amen. We're going to read verses 10 through 18 together. Amen. And what we're going to deal with tonight is the portion of the armor that's the least mentioned. Amen. The portion of the armor that is the most powerful, yet most neglected. Amen. The most powerful, but yet neglected. Verse 10 reads, do we all have it? Amen. Let us start. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of whose might? His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the what? What part of the armor? The whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand,
and
therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith he shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And our focus tonight is coming out of verse 18. The most powerful, but yet most neglected. Amen. Praying
always.
Praying
always.
Praying
always.
With all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. And can the saints say the word of the Lord?
The word of the Lord
is blessed.
Blessed.
Already. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Truly, we bless the Lord tonight. God's armor is in 7 parts. Amen. And all of the parts of the armor are to protect the front. Because God never intended for the saints of God to ever retreat. Amen. Or to ever turn their back in the middle of the battle. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So all of the armor is intended to protect us going forward and not going. The armor is intended to protect us going where? Forward and not going
backwards.
Amen. So we want to focus on prayer. Amen. Because that is one of the things that Jesus focused on, was prayer. Amen.
Amen.
So verse 18 says, praying what?
Always.
Always. prayer is so important. I heard Paul write, I believe, in the book of Thessalonians that we should be instant
in prayer.
Amen. Instant in prayer. Praying always with some prayer.
All prayer.
When we feel like praying.
All prayer.
All prayer and
supplication.
In the Spirit. Because likewise, the Spirit helpeth our weaknesses. Amen. The things that we can't control. The parts of us that sometimes seem to get the advantage. Likewise, the Spirit helpeth our weaknesses. Amen. Our infirmities. For we know not what to
pray for
as we are. But when we pray in the Spirit maketh intercession for us according to the
will of God.
When we pray in the Spirit, he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. Why? Because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So we want to pray always, all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And not just pray, but in prayer we must also
watch.
Amen. Can you imagine? That is a part of the armor. But most of the time when you see the pictures or the illustrations of the armor, you don't see prayer. Amen. But that is the most powerful part of the armor. We'll get into that a little later. But it's also the most neglected. Can we say most powerful? But most neglected. Is prayer. Amen. The most powerful yet most neglected. You know, the other day I heard someone saying that someone was having some challenges and difficulties. They said, I need to find a way to get there. Amen. And as they spoke that they need to find a way to get there, the Lord just dropped into my spirit instantly. You need to pray. Because if you can't get there, I can assure you God can get there. Amen. There's so many times that we neglect the power of prayer. We think our physical presence will make a difference, but we know that prayer makes the difference. Amen. Let us turn to Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 6 and 7. Amen. This is Paul writing to the Philippian church. Now, tonight we're focusing on what?
Prayer.
Prayer. Amen. Prayer is so important. This is Paul writing to the Philippians. He said, be careful for
nothing.
This careful means anxiety or to worry. Amen. Scripture says, be careful for nothing. But in how many things?
Everything
by prayer and supplication with, you got to learn to praise the Lord. We need to learn to praise the Lord. Everywhere in prayer and thanksgiving, with thanksgiving, let your so God does not intend for his saints to have anxiety or to worry, but in everything by prayer and supplication with
thanksgiving.
Amen. You know what Thanksgiving is? It's like, you know what? Thank God for what he's done. Thank God for the things he's kept you from. We need to thank God, and then we can let our requests. But how many know we don't thank God enough for what he's already done? Thanksgiving is a part of approaching God. Amen. Can we turn to St. John's chapter 10? We're going to come back to this in 1 second. Go to St. John's chapter 10. And we all know the story of Lazarus. Amen? We all know about Lazarus. We know that he was dead in the grave. How many days?
4 days.
But the Lord performed a miracle. Amen? But before God performed this miracle, let's just read about what the Lord actually did. Amen. Actually, St. John's chapter 11, not 10. St. John's chapter 11. Amen. And we're going to go to verse Let's start in verse 39. Amen. Verse 39. Then we know that Lazarus has died, and Jesus told them, I'm glad for what? Your sake, that I was not there to the intent that you may believe. Amen. And the verse 39 reads, Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he has been dead. That's what we need God the most. When the situation is impossible. Amen. Jesus said unto her, Said I not unto thee, if thou wilt what?
Believe.
Amen. It's impossible to come to God if we don't believe. Thou shouldest see. How many need to see God's glory? How many need God to intervene and do something in a miraculous way? Well, you must first believe. Amen. You don't have to be challenged by the difficulties. There's no greater difficulty than someone that's dead and been in the grave 4 days. Amen. When someone is dead and they're buried, they would be what they consider finished. Can I hear somebody say, but God? When you believe, Lord, thank you. He can make a way out of no way. He said, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father. And you say, wait a minute, why didn't God just speak? Amen. Why didn't God just say, Lazarus come forth? Because he was giving them an example of the power that's in prayer. Amen. The power that's in prayer. Amen. So he said, Father, I what? Before he asked God to do anything, he said, I what? Before you ask God to do something, how many of us? Thank you. In everything, amen. We'll let your request be made known unto God, but the first thing we must do is thank him. The scripture not only teaches it, but Jesus embodied this. So he's about to heal Lazarus, but he prays, and he what? Thanks God first. Before you ask God, why not give him some praise? Why not thank him? Why not praise him for what he has already done? So Lord, I thank thee that thou heardest me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. He said, but I'm not doing this because of me, but I'm doing this to set an example for the people. Even when the Lord performed the greatest miracle in healing Lazarus, he prayed and thanked God first. If you need a miracle, learn to thank God, then learn to praise God, then pray. We sometimes we get it backwards, amen. We pray and we tell God and we cry and we, you know, everything is running here and there. Thank God, just glorify him, praise him. Thank him for what he's already done. Thank him because it could have been that much worse. Amen, and then after you finish praising and thank him, then ask, amen. And everything by prayer, supplication with what? Thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then verse 6 says, and the peace of God, amen, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds. But you got to go through something. You got to go through who? Christ Jesus. Amen. Tonight, prayer is the most powerful part of our army. Yet it's the most neglected. Amen. And we're going to get it a little further here. We'll show you what all prayer can do. Amen. Can we turn to, Luke chapter 6. Let's go to Luke chapter 6. We're going to read just verse 12. We're going to bounce around a little bit tonight because we want to show you what the Lord himself did. Amen. To show the example that we should follow. Now, in the beginning of Luke chapter 6, Jesus enters into the temple, and on the Sabbath day, he heals a man with a lame arm. Amen. And you know, the religious people say, hey, it's not supposed to happen that way. When God is on the scene, God can do what he wants, when he wants, and how he wants to. Can I get an amen? Amen. So it says, verse 11, now they're upset because Jesus has performed a miracle. How do you get upset when God does something miraculous? Amen. Verse 11 says, and they were filled with madness, commune one with another that they what they might do to Jesus. Amen. Now, if this had been some of us, what would we do right now? People are mad, they're talking about us, they're upset with us. What would you do at this particular period of time? But what did Jesus do? Verse 12 said, and it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray. And he prayed. This is what prayer can do. This is God himself. In their indignation, in their wrath, in their, amen, slandering and blaspheming his goodness, the Bible says he departed upon the mountain to pray. And he didn't just pray 5 minutes, but he prayed all night long. Why? Because of the power of prayer. And verse 13 said, and when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and out of them he chose the Lord, even when he had to make such a critical decision as choosing his disciples, he stayed in prayer, what? All night. Showing us an example. When you need to make some critical decisions, it's time to what?
Pray.
Amen. Prayer is so important. So he prayed all night, and even when he prayed, one of them he chose still betrayed him, because that was God's providential will. Amen. So the Lord is trying to give us a pattern that we should follow. Amen. Let us turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2. Now, we're dealing with the power of prayer. Amen. What prayer can do. The most powerful part of our army, yet it's the most neglected. Let me see. Because I don't want to read all of this. 21, let me see. Let's start in verse 19. Amen. Verse 19. Now prayer. Amen. We all have challenges. We all have decisions to make. But it's so important that we pray. Amen. The Bible says, trust in the Lord of all your heart, and do not lean. When you're in a situation that you need to make a decision, your decision you can make can be a crisis. In other words, it could be for the better, or it could be for the worse. So in making the decision, it's important that we lean not to our own understanding, but the scripture said that we should do what? Acknowledge him and all of our ways, and then he will direct our path. But he said, be not wise in your own eyes. Prayer helps us to get out of us and to get in God. Prayer helps us to get out of us and to get in God. Because as long as we're in us, we're leaning into our own understanding. Amen. And how many know that mankind's understanding is limited? But God's understanding is past. Find it out. So it's important when we need to make decisions. You know, every decision we make is an important decision, because our decision should be a reflection of God in us. Every decision we make is an important decision. Amen. Verse 19. He said, for this is what? back to praising him again. You got to learn to thank God. Amen. Don't go to God complaining and murmuring. Learn to do what? Thank him. The Lord performed that one of the greatest miracles ever in raising Lazarus. Before he did anything, he did what? Thanked him. Learn to thank God. For this is third word, thanksworthy. If a man for what? Conscious towards everybody else. Conscious towards the neighbor. Conscious towards God endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and somebody said, all I did was good, why am I suffering? Amen? Boy, y'all look a little serious up there. Y'all about to scare me. I'm about to have to duck behind the pulpit, pull a couple of ventriloquists and some other stuff to get y'all to loosen up. Amen? Amen. We said, what we do well, do we expect to suffer for? Absolutely not. But the Bible said, this is thanksworthy. If a man for conscience towards God endure suffering wrongfully, amen. And then verse, it said, and you take it patiently, this is what? So when you do something good and you suffer for it, the Bible said this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us. And he did what? Leaving us an example that we should follow. How many of us tonight are really endeavoring to follow God's steps? He has left us a pattern to follow. Amen. Thanksgiving, prayer, supplication. Amen. Now let's turn to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. Tonight, our whole focus is going to be on prayer and deliverance, which can only come through prayer. Amen. Verse 32 of chapter 14. Verse 32 of chapter 14. Amen. And they came to the place which was named Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, sit ye here while I shall pray. Amen. Gethsemane means an oil press. The valley of Gethsemane was where they went and they stamped on the olive, olive press. That's where they went and stamped on the olives. And what do you get when you smash olives? You get the what kind of oil? Anointing oil. The olive oil, but it's the anointing oil. All right, so Jesus is in the valley of Gethsemane. And the valley of Gethsemane is where they went to crush the olives to make the olive oil, which was the anointing oil. How many know that when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was what? Crushed. He was wounded. Amen. Where? In the valley of Gethsemane, in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he saith unto his disciples, sit ye here while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. And saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. He wanted them to watch him because he is now in agony. Because he's preparing to go and suffer for every last one of us. Amen. He was preparing to suffer. Amen. Verse 35 says, and he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father. This is a term of endearment. Amen. We know that Jesus was praying to the what? Father. When he said Abba, that takes it to another level. That means like us saying Daddy. Amen. He said, he's pleading. Amen. Not just Father. But you know when you say Daddy, you know, everybody say, y'all know what it is when y'all say Daddy? Yes, sir. Amen. All right. Amen. Daddy is endearment. He's like saying, I need real help now. Amen. So he says, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. He says, now take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou. He's calling him daddy because he knows he's about to go through one of the greatest trials of suffering and scourging ever. Amen. But he concludes, nevertheless, not what I will, but what thy will. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping and said unto Peter, Simon, sleepeth thou? Couldest not watch? Couldn't you just watch for 1 hour? Watch ye and pray. That's why at the end of service we say, do what?
Watch
and pray. Amen. Not just to identify with something, but this is what, as a church, in our individualized and collectively, we must watch and pray. Amen. He's setting them an example that they should follow in his steps. Amen. So he says, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. For the spirit truly is, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed and spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them
sleeping.
They just weren't watching. They were about to experience a test as well as he was. And he wanted them to watch what he was doing so that in their hour of temptation or test, they would know what to do. But they're doing what? Sleeping again. Amen. And he finds them sleep again. And he cometh the third time and saith unto them, sleep on. I've tried to prepare you for the test that's coming. But the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You're not watching. You're not praying, so you're not going to be prepared. Now, just to show you how hard the Lord prayed. He is our perfect example. Let us go to Luke chapter 22 and verse 41. Luke 22:41. Prayer is the most powerful part of the armory, yet it's the most neglected. Amen. We will do everything but pray. In our time of desperation, in our time of need. Amen. Many times we do everything and then eventually we pray. Prayer should be the first thing we do. He taught them, he said, watch and pray. I want you to watch me because I'm about to face the greatest trial, but your test is coming. Verse 41 reads, and he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Amen. And then he's agonizing in prayer. Amen. He's trying to get mentally prepared as well as spiritually prepared for the greatest test that he was faced. Because everything, including the devil himself, was trying to stop Jesus from getting to the cross. And it was important that he died. You know, if you ever read in Genesis chapter 3, when the Lord drove Adam and Eve out of the garden, remember the Bible said he placed the cherubims on the east side and the flaming sword to protect the tree of life? So the only way to get back to the tree of life, something had to go through the flaming sword. And the only way you get to the flaming sword, something had to, and it just wasn't a normal death. It had to be agonizing because that flaming sword, so it turned every way and every which way, so nothing can get past it unless it died. So it was important for us to have a right to the tree of life. The Lord had to go past the flaming sword. He had to go past the flaming sword. Amen. So the devil knows, hallelujah, that God has to suffer. So not only is he dealing with the agony of mankind, but he's fighting a spiritual battle also. Today, brothers and sisters, we're not only just fighting situations, for we wrestle not against, but we fight against principalities, against powers, against the rule of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness. It's still here. The Lord had to fight the wickedness. So he's in prayer. And he says, now watch me so you will know what to do when you are tested. All that calling and talking to this one and that one on the phone won't fix it. It's time to watch and pray. The Lord prays so hard, it says, and there appeared an angel up to him from heaven. The trial was set great. Now, if an angel appeared, guess what? Everybody had to see it. Because this is Luke's account, which he had to get from someone else, because Luke wasn't there. Amen? So they saw that the Lord in praying had to be strengthened from an angel. Because of how devastating, how great, how enormous the trial was. And verse 44 said, and being in agony, he prayed
more earnestly.
Being in agony, he prayed
more earnestly.
And his sweat was as if it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. We're talking about agonizing in what? Prayer. But what did he want his disciples to do? Watch him. Because he said, your hour of temptation is coming. And then when they came to get Jesus, they were not prepared. So Peter took the sword and cut off the servant of the high priest's ear. And the Lord was such in the spirit that he took the ear in front of them all and healed it. Because that was not what he wanted them to do. And with Peter, if he had been watching and praying, would he have done it? No. But he was not prepared spiritually because he did not watch and pray. The Lord was giving him an example for what to do to endure your temptation, your test, and your trial. So he said, you must do what? Watch and pray. Now let us go to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. Amen. We're dealing with what steps, the things necessary that we have to do in order to be spiritually prepared. Amen. We want to put on the whole armor. Though most illustrations do not show prayer and supplication, it is the most powerful part of the armor. All of the rest of the armor protects us other than the sword of the Spirit. Everything else protects. The sword and prayer are our offensive weapons to defeat the devil. Amen? Let's turn to verse 13. Verse 13. Verse 13 reads, is any among you afflicted? If you're in suffering, if you're going through hardship, let us
pray.
Amen? Is any merry, let him
sing a song.
When you're happy, sing a song. You can sing it to yourself like I do if you can't sing that good. But at least sing it. Amen? So if any is merry, let him sing. Is any among you, if any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them
pray.
So when you're in trouble, you need to
pray.
Amen? Over them, anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be The prayer of what?
Faith.
If you're in trouble, if you're afflicted and struggling, pray. If you're sick, pray. Amen? Confess your faults one to another and
pray.
Amen. He's trying to get us to understand you have to pray. Amen? That you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of the effectual prayer of the what? Does a little bit. It does what?
Availeth
much. Amen. Let us turn to Proverbs 15 and I believe verse 29. The effectual fervent prayer of the what?
Righteous
man availeth much. I've been praying, it just doesn't seem like I'm getting my prayer through. What is your stand with God? If you're righteous, let's see what Proverbs 15 and 29 says. Amen. The Lord is what? But he, God hears the prayer. The fervent effectual prayer of a righteous man. Why? Because the Lord hears the prayers of the righteous. It's so important that we make sure that our lives are in tune and harmony with God. Go to Psalms 34. Psalms 34. He hears the prayer of the righteous. Amen. Prayer is the most powerful part of our armor, yet it's the most neglected. Amen. Verse 15 of Psalms 34 reads, the eyes of the Lord upon the
righteous.
It's important to be righteous, means that you're in right standing with God. It doesn't matter what I say or anybody else says, because the Bible said God seeth not as man seeth. Because man looks, but God looks. So your righteousness is not determined by anybody other than people do so much. Oh, I gotta make sure this is straight. Let me take a seat. All right. Amen. I'll just sit this way. Amen. We do so much to please people. And God, what about, I heard somebody say, does God count at all anymore in this life that we live? And want to be right, doesn't it matter at all what God thinks about us? I can do what I want to, yes, but don't you want to be in right standing? He Bible says he withdraws from the wicked. But he hears the prayers of the righteous. And 34 said, the eyes of the Lord upon the righteous and his. When we're in right standing with God, God has his ears open. I was speaking with Bishop yesterday, and he was doing what bishops do, instructing me on some things. And he said, you know, when that scripture talks about the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself whose hearts are strong towards God, who show himself perfect, whose eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong.
On behalf of those whose hearts are perfect.
Perfect. Y'all know what I'm trying to say. Yeah, I know scripture by heart, but something's, y'all messing with me a little bit now. Whose hearts are perfect. He said that perfect means to be faithful to God. He said when you're faithful to God, God is looking to help you. God is looking to rescue you. But if you're not faithful, God is not going to be there in your time of need because your heart is not right. So he said, just make sure you teach the people to be right before God. Can I get an amen? You know, we do so much and we do things even in deceit or guile to prove, please an individual when God sees. Because God knows. The Bible says concerning God, his eyes are in every place. Listen, God's eyes are in every place, beholding the good and the evil. So it's important that we be right before God. You know you're messing up, you're doing something, and somebody look at you, you straighten up. Forget about what they saw. God saw you way before anybody else. Amen. You know, a lot of times, when I go on vacation, I can let the standards down. I'm not talking about don't have a good time. But I'm talking about you can't compromise and be a poor witness or an ambassador of Christ. How many know who can say we're an ambassador of Christ? Everywhere you go, you are an ambassador. Amen. So if you go over to Siberia and you're in all that cold, you're still an ambassador. Well, many times when we go on vacation, we let the standards down and fail to realize that God still sees us. And then when we come back off a vacation, now this is not for any of y'all, because this ain't happening to y'all. This is about, this is why I read in the textbook. For those other people, okay? So y'all all right. But then you come back and you got trouble on top of trouble on top of trouble. Stop for a minute and just get right. Because his eyes are everywhere, beholding the good and the evil. Amen. Verse 17 of the same chapter says, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of a few problems. When you're in right standing with God, when you cry, God will deliver you out of all of your trouble. This is what prayer can do. Amen. Now let's turn to Mark chapter 11. We only have a few more scriptures that I'll go over tonight. Amen. Lord willing, we'll go over some more later. But the most powerful thing that we have in our armor is prayer. Let's purpose that we're going to use it more. That's our deliverance. That's our help. That's what makes a way out of no way. The Lord healed. I brought Lazarus from the dead, but first he did what thing he did before he even called it forth was he thanked God and prayed. He's God. All he had to do was say, all right, Lazarus, come on down that grave. Right? Because he's God. But God, his whole life was intended to be an example for us to follow. He could have done anything any way he wanted to. Now the Lord, the Bible, we all know, did Jesus have sin?
No, sir.
Come on, y'all. Yeah,
no,
Jesus had?
No sin.
So the purpose of baptism is to wash away sin, right? Right? That's why you get baptized, because it washes away sin, because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So we get baptized to wash away sin. Well, if Jesus didn't have sin, why didn't he get baptized? To show us the way to follow. And the other day, they got ready to just confess it through mouth and believe in your heart, you'll be saved. But how are you going to just do the opposite of what Jesus did? John said, no, Lord, I don't. He said, I can't baptize you. I have need for you to baptize me. Jesus said, suffer it for righteousness' sake. In other words, I'm showing you the right way to follow. So for all of you to confess in your mouth and believe in your heart, and you're a Christian, you're not walking after Christ. Because Jesus was. He said, well, he's our perfect example. Well, how do you follow in parts of it, but not all of it? And then when you're baptized, it shows you, that's why he was born of the water and the Spirit. When he came up out of the water and the Spirit, he said it like a dove. That's our example. So you must be. That's no charge. That's extra. That one in there. Amen. But he's our perfect example, showing us the way to follow. Amen. Mark 11, verse 20. Mark 11 and verse 20 says, and in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Because the Lord spoke to it the day before. Amen. So the morning they see the fig tree and it's dried up, you know, like you go somewhere one day and the next day you come and the tree is completely dead, you will take notice. If you don't believe it, look at your green tree in the backyard today and look at it again tomorrow. If you see it dead, you know something has happened. Amen. And Peter, calling to remember, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is. Hey, Lord, I don't want to be a part of the curse. Keep your blessings on me. Amen. Jesus answered and said unto him, have faith in God. Amen. So if you need anything tonight, the first prerequisite to it, God doing anything is what? Have faith in God. Because the scripture said, without faith it is impossible to please God. So he says, have faith in God. And for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have. What is he doing? He's praying. And he's telling the mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. Nothing else can move the mountains in your life like prayer. I said nothing else can move the mountains in your life like prayer mixed with faith. Amen. Yes, we have all the help and the salvation that can't move a mountain. Yes, we have all the breastplate of righteousness that will move the mountain. We may have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, but that won't move the mountains. We can have on the belt of truth, but that won't. But when you pray and you pray in faith and you say to the mountain, be thou moved and be thou cast into the sea, the most powerful part of the armor, yet the most neglected. Prayer. Amen. And then verse 24, he said, therefore, I say unto you, what thing soever, stop right there. You don't have to ask anybody else. Amen. You don't have to work and kill yourself to get it. If you desire whatsoever things you desire, when the most powerful part of the army, but yet the most neglected. He said, what do you want tonight? Then you need to what?
Pray.
Can we say pray?
Pray.
Whatsoever thing you desire, when ye pray, believe that ye and ye have them. When you want them, you got to pray. Amen. Speak to some things in our lives. Amen. The spoken word through prayer. How did the Lord create light? Jesus said, let there
be light.
He what? Spoke it into. Amen. He spoke it into existence. How did he create the universe and everything? He what? Spoke it into existence. All we have to do is learn to speak to our situations through faith and prayer. And the Bible said, whatsoever thing ye desire, ye shall what? Have them. But you must learn to pray. Let's go to Luke 18. Luke 18. Oh my goodness, time is running out. I'll just end here. Amen. I'll just end here. My time has run out on me. And I get discouraged if y'all start getting up and walking down on me. So I already know I gotta bring it to a close. Amen. Somebody said, the mind can only take what the seed can bear. So I know my limitations. Amen. Amen. But what I'm saying is we must learn to get some victory in our situations. Victory only comes through prayer. But even Jesus, before he prayed, he did what? Thank God. Can we learn to start thanking God first? Then thank him. Then let's glorify him. Say, if you're married, sing some songs. Amen. Let's praise him. And then let's see what God can do. Verse 8, chapter 18, verse 1. We'll close here in Luke chapter 18. Now, the Lord, I mean, you know, pretty much when the Lord tells you something, it's probably the final authority. Amen. There's no disputing it. If God says do it, that's pretty much what you ought to do. Amen. Now, this is not the apostles. Amen. This is not none of the prophets in the Old Testament. This is the Lord himself speaking. He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men are always to what?
Pray.
And not means to quit, to give up, to become a coward, or to flee.
Thank you, Jesus.
I don't care how much the challenge is. You got to pray. So, well, what? Why are so many people fall away? They don't know the power of prayer. Praying and prayer can move a mountain. And that ain't gonna do any good for you to pray if you all you're doing is murmuring and complaining and grumbling and just, you know, all discontented. You got to learn to thank God first.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise and prayer will move a mountain. Because the moment you start mumbling, grumbling, murmuring and complaining, God shuts his ears. Because he inhabits the what?
Praises
of his people. So you say, when I start praising God, I know he's in the midst. Can I get an amen? Saying men are always to pray and not to faint. Saying there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. Now this is where Sister Serena and Sister, y'all look at this one, the preacher said, you gotta keep bother. That's Jamaican. Sloria and Serena, y'all just said bother. It's like, what in the world is a bother? Well, why you stop looking like that? I said, well, I don't know what he's saying. I don't know how you bother Jesus. What is the bother? He was trying to say bother, I guess. But bother, they don't pronounce the H's, right? You don't pronounce H. So bother. So what he's telling them there, you got to keep bothering Jesus. Amen. If it don't work the first time, you got to come again. Saying, there was a city judge which feared not God, neither regarded the man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but she kept bothering him. The Lord has given us an example to follow. He said, in the beginning, he's like, you know, I don't have to listen to her, but she kept bothering him. Jesus, amen. He would not for a while, but after he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow, he's given us an example. You want something from God? Keep going to him. If you didn't get it the first time, go again, amen. He said, this widow troubled me. Our adventure, lest by her, she would not stop. I'm trying to figure out tonight, how many of us have wanted something, but we have now stopped. Amen. Whatever the deliverance, whatever the help, whatever we need, have we stopped praying? Have we stopped asking God for it? Have we stopped believing? Jesus told them, have faith in God. Faith in God means I don't have it, but I haven't got tired yet. Somebody say, I've been running for Jesus. I've been running for Jesus a long time, and I'm not tired yet. Don't get weary. Keep coming to Jesus. Amen. Continual coming, she wearied me, and the Lord said, hear what? Now, you know why he's using the judge as an example? Because he's the what? Judge of all the earth. And Abraham, in dealing with God, God told him, since you're not the judge of all the earth, do right. If the unjust judge can do right, what about the judge of all the earth? Amen? Hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his? If you're saved, you've been called, you are part of the election. How many are saved? You are God's elect. Amen. And shall not God avenge his own elect which cry? Though he bear long with them. I tell you that he will avenge them. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find? We miss too many blessings because we lose faith. And we stop fighting, we stop praying, and we stop believing. You know what the Lord said? He said, I come that you might have, and that you might have it. So tonight, I encourage you, keep fighting, keep praying. Keep believing. Men are always to pray and not to faint. Bible said, let us not be weary yet. Let us not be weary. For in due season we shall reap if we. The moment you faint, you lose God's blessing. As we all stand, the ministers and elders come forward. Let us remember the most powerful part of our armoring is prayer. Yet it also is the most neglected. Pray. When you don't know what to do, pray. When you know what to do, keep praying. And God will avenge his own elect. But just keep praying. He said she came before God continually, day and night. I know we all have some things that we want God to do for us and for loved ones. We have healings we need God to do. We have some deliverance we need God to do. It's important that we pray. Never mind.